Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we do commit ourselves into your hands. We know that we are safe in your keeping, O Lord. Lord, we hand over to you all our anxieties and burdens, all our griefs and sorrows. Please feed our souls tonight with your wonderful, truthful word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. And I don't ask it flippantly. And I ask it fully aware that it's perhaps over the last 50 years been a controversial question. A question in which there's been a lot of disagreement between Christians. And that's partly the reason that I ask it. But my question is, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? In our passage in Acts, Peter says to the people, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." The gift of the Spirit is for all, for as many as God calls. What does Peter mean? What does he mean by the gift of the Spirit? Do you know what he means? And more than that, have you experienced the gift he's speaking about? I'm sure that you will agree with me that Christianity is more than a religion. It is a religion. It is not less than religion. But it is also about renewal and regeneration. It's about new life. The power of God. The life of God in the soul of man. It is about the gift of God's Holy Spirit coming upon you, living in you, renewing in you the image of God. And so you become increasingly free and alive in God. The gospel promise of the Spirit is for good religious people too. Now what do I mean by that? Have you ever noticed that the people Peter is speaking to in Acts were good religious people? Verse 5 tells us that the crowds in Jerusalem were made up of devout men from every nation under heaven. So they were faithful believers in God as revealed in the Old Covenant. And they were not just orthodox, they were godly. They were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the remembrance of giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And they're devout. These are godly people. Their lives match what they believed. And they're there to worship and give alms. And if you think about how difficult travel was in the ancient world, for all these people to have come from these different places would have come at great cost to them. Would have been a journey of months. Do you see how devoted they were to God, the one true God of Israel? But they needed to receive the gift of the Spirit. They were, if you like, Old Testament believers. But they were not yet Christians. In the real sense of the word, one more thing was needed. The gift of the Spirit. Now, I make that point, and I think it's important, because I think there are a lot of people who come as far as these good religious people in Jerusalem, who will practice the outward religion of the true faith. And will seek to follow God as far as they have light. And will live good lives, even serving other people. But a Christian, now that Christ has come, is something much more. A Christian is someone who has received the gift of the Spirit. And what Acts 2 is about is it's telling us that a new era began on that day of Pentecost, the age of the Spirit. A new day has dawned when God the Holy Spirit has come. And we don't want to be just good religious people. We want to be people of the Spirit. Don't we? To be a Christian, and let me lay it for you how I think it often is in a person's experience. To be a Christian is to know God is Father, Son, and Spirit. And for many of us, we first begin by understanding that God is the Father, the universal Creator and Lord, the Father of all things in the human race, and our divine benefactor and curer, the giver of every good gift, and the sovereign who rules over all things. But then we're given more light. And we come to know Christ is his Son, the eternal Son who is one with God, with him. And we know that he's added to himself humanity. He's become a man and has lived among us as our Savior and Redeemer and died for us and has been raised for us. But there is even more to be a Christian. Because then we're given further light. And we know God is the Holy Spirit, the power of God, living in us, transforming us. And religion, no matter how good, if it doesn't know Father, Son, and Spirit, one God, is not enough. It's not Christianity. And in fact, it will actually end in bondage. Religion like that, without a true knowledge of God, will burn you out and weary you and become a miserable duty. It is possible to have the form of godliness, but not the power. I suspect that many of our problems as Christians is when we turn back to religion and don't live in the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is this gift of the Spirit uniting us to Christ, filling us with the love of God, and we know God. And I would say the good news of the gift of the Spirit is the gospel message that good religious people need to hear. That there is something more than belief and religion. There is the gift of the Spirit. And we need to be reminded of that as Christians. I've experienced, I think that Christians get worn out when they forget the gift of the Spirit. So do you have the gift of the Holy Spirit? So over the next few weeks, I want us to look together at Acts 2. The events of the first Christian Pentecost. And ask, what is the gift of the Spirit? And do we enjoy it ourselves? And my hope is you'll be encouraged. If you are a Christian, that you will be strengthened by understanding the gift of the Spirit who dwells within you. Just consider this small group of believers here on the day of Pentecost. Weak, no outward resources, sinful, not more than a month earlier, they deserted Christ. And now with the coming of the Spirit given such power, they reached the world in a generation with the gospel, overcoming all opposition, made into champions of faith by God's Spirit. And so if them, why not us? But also, I want to challenge you. Have you indeed received the gift of the Spirit and become a true biblical Christian? Is it possible? You may have come a long way in good religion, but not yet understood the gift of the Spirit. Before we look at the individual parts of Acts 2, I believe it's important to grasp the whole. What do the events of Pentecost really mean? What is their significance? If you like, what I'm asking, what does Peter explain? What does he put as the emphasis? What is this coming of the Spirit all about? Well, I put it to you that the key word is witness. Witness. That's what Peter explains. The Holy Spirit has come to be a witness to Christ and to empower us to be his witnesses. In his sermon to the crowd, Peter's explaining that the dramatic signs of the Spirit's coming, showing that he'd come, but he explains what it means. He has come to powerfully show and to testify that Jesus Christ is Lord. The climax of Peter's words comes in verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He's saying, look, the Spirit is here to give testimony to what we cannot see. That in the heavens, Jesus Christ is now alive and is reigning as the Lord over all. And the Spirit is here to show and to speak that this is so. He is the divine authoritative witness. He testifies, Jesus is alive. Picture it a bit like this. In the ancient world, before modern communication, news travelled slowly. So if your king had gone out to battle, suppose he's fighting to defend your city against an invader, the king and his army would march out and they'd be gone for weeks and for months. And you'd be waiting anxiously for the news. Has he won? Or is the next thing we're going to see be the enemy marching over the hills to come and take us over? And so from the battlefield, ancient armies would send out runners back to their home city. And they would run to give a report on the battle and to declare the winner. So you can picture somebody standing on the battlements of their city, looking out, waiting for the news. Well, the message to us is the Holy Spirit. That God himself comes to tell us the good news, to be the first gospel preacher. And he's come from heaven to tell us, Christ has won. You can't see it, but he's won. Over sin and the devil, our King is triumphant. And he's coming in his victory parade. And he'll establish his kingdom and there'll be glory. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to be the witness. And also, as you see in the transformation in the church here, to make us into powerful witnesses. Now isn't this what we need to know? He's here to give us confidence, boldness, power to witness for Christ. Peter says we are witnesses. How do we know the gospel is true? What will give us confidence? How do we find the courage to speak out and tell others? That's what the Spirit has come to do. So this evening, I just want to very simply just begin with the first events of the day. The signs of the Spirit's coming. The scripture says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And they rested upon each of them. So these were unique, miraculous signs. Visible pictures of the Spirit's power and presence. Now, we should not expect these kinds of visible signs whenever the Spirit comes and is at work. They were given at his first coming as symbols to explain and to picture what he came to do. Let me give you a comparison from the scriptures. When the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism, a visible sign was given. A dove was seen to rest upon him, symbolizing the Spirit was coming upon Christ to empower him to make peace. Because he was coming as the Prince of Peace to make peace with God and peace on earth. And so the sign is given at the first coming to teach what the ongoing work will be about. The invisible work. And so in the same way here, we do not expect every Sunday when we meet, although we truly expect the Spirit to come, we do not expect the same visible signs. Because if you like, the pattern and the direction's been set with that first coming. So the first sign was a roaring, rushing, mighty wind from heaven. It symbolized his power. He's come to act powerfully on earth. Now to understand, we can think of the wind that we're sometimes told about in the Old Testament. Think of God's powerful breath into the clay, lifeless form of Adam. Molded but yet lifeless until God breathed into him. Creative and powerful. The Holy Spirit has come to give us new life. We're dead in our sins. Dead to God. Dead to righteousness. Ultimately to physically die. But now through the gospel, as he bears witness to Christ, as we listen, we will be made alive. Brought back to God and the goodness of creation. And even our bodies will be raised up. Think of the mighty breath of God that struck the Red Sea. The scripture says a strong wind blew all night and parted the Red Sea. Now what force is that? What power is that to move a sea? So Israel escaped from bondage. In the same way, the Spirit is powerful in the church to set people free from bondage, from slavery to sin and passions and lusts and the devil. Think of the mighty wind Ezekiel saw in his vision, breathing on the dry bones, and how the hopeless, dead people of Israel would be transformed into a mighty army. He's come to empower weak people and make us into the army of Christ to do his will in the world. So the symbolism is that the mighty power of the Spirit has come. The second sign that all of this took place on the day of Pentecost. Now that too is a sign of the Spirit's coming. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, if you like, this was the Pentecost of Pentecosts. This was the real true fulfillment of what Pentecost had always been pointing towards. Pentecost was the day remembering Moses on the mountain and God giving him the tablets of the law, the stone tables, the commandments by which we know how to do what's right. And those stone tablets were the covenant treaty between God and his people. If you like, they were the contract set in stone, binding God to his people and his people to God. But now something better has come. With the Spirit, God's law is not written on stone, but it's going to be written in us. It's not just going to be a law outside us, teaching us. We're going to be given power from within to keep it. Each one of us, with the coming of the Spirit, can be a walking copy of the commandments, empowered to live holy lives. And the covenant binding us to God is no longer set in stone, which could be broken. It's something stronger and more glorious. We're bound to God now by God living in us and we in him. It cannot be broken. An unbreakable bond of God's grace and love. The third symbol was the tongues of fire upon their heads. And the fire, surely a symbol of the presence of God. God truly manifesting himself and revealing himself, dwelling among his people. No longer a small fire on the altar in the Holy of Holies, but now in every Christian a living temple. Think of the fire at the burning bush, a sign that showed that God is eternal, I am, that he's uncreated, the fire that needs no fuel, and now he lives in us to sustain us. Think of the fire on the altar in the temple, symbolizing the purity of God. No one allowed to enter but the high priest once a year, and not without blood. But now, all sin has been dealt with. Christ has offered a perfect sacrifice for all sin. And so, in a sense, the Holy of Holies has come to us. And the Spirit now lives in us. And the symbol of a tongue, to show he'd give power to God's people, so we could speak the gospel to the world. Now how striking is that as a picture of all the things he could have come as? He comes in the form of a tongue, to empower the bold preaching of the gospel, that we should be witnesses who speak. We pass on a message of good news. And notice this gift was given to all of them, to show that he has come to empower every Christian to be a witness. Every believer. And so this unique sign of speaking foreign languages, a sign that he would empower the church to reach the world. Every nation, every language. He'd empower and equip us to reach all the nations. So do you want to be a witness for Christ like that? When in your daily life, with joy and boldness and effectively, then what is needed is we need to know the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit as they were. If we are not inspired and not empowered as witnesses, is it because we do not know the gift of the Spirit? And so these miraculous gifts, that's not what it's about. We might be drawn aside and devote all our attention to seeking the supernatural signs, but that would be to miss the point. The gift is the gift of being empowered to witness. It's the gift of boldness. And that might look different in all of us. And we'll all be in different circumstances. But however we're called to be a witness, the power is there in the Spirit to help you be that witness. It is not about your natural abilities or how weak and inadequate you feel. The power for witness is in the Spirit. So this was the beginning of the day of Pentecost. These signs that teach us what the Holy Spirit has come to do. He's the divine authoritative witness that Christ is raised. And he's come to empower you to be a witness. Which brings me to the final point this evening. And the key to being a powerful witness. You need to receive the Spirit's witness within yourself. The Spirit rested upon each one of them. Now there is, it seems to me, a deliberate echo here of the words of Scripture spoken when the Spirit came upon Christ at his baptism. The Spirit rested upon him and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." The Spirit was given as a witness to Christ of the Father's love for him. The Spirit was given as a sign and to give Christ as a man an inner confidence and certainty of the Father's love for him. He was filled by the Spirit with the knowledge of God's fatherly love for him. And the Spirit was witnessing, if you like, to Christ's heart within him and gave him that assurance deep within. And that is surely the source of what was able to empower Christ in his ministry. He was given this inner witness and confidence of God's love. And Paul tells us in Romans and Galatians, the Spirit witnesses to our spirits so that we might cry, "Abba, Father." What is the gift of the Spirit? What is it that every Christian should expect and long for and seek? It's that the Spirit has come to give us a powerful inner testimony. That he should fill us with a peace and a certainty of God's love for us. And give us a confidence, an assurance that we are the children of God. That we are forgiven and we are adopted. So that we don't just know it, but have doubts. He comes to speak deep within us and so that we know it. And we can say, "I know that it's true. My eyes have been opened. I see it. I know it. I know it because the Spirit within me tells me I am loved of God and forgiven and accepted." That is his precious gift. And it is that witness which will give you power and make you a good witness. As Paul says to Timothy, we've not received a spirit of fear, but of love, of a sound mind and peace. And so the gift of the Spirit is for us, not in the dramatic signs per se, but in this confident certainty he gives us of the truth that Christ is raised and we are saved. There is a witness of the Spirit. And sometimes it accompanies the preaching of the word or the means of grace. It is granted sometimes as a gift in answer to prayer and to need and to empower the church. Often given in great measure when someone's first converted. A gift we might neglect and quench through sin and neglect. And so the challenge I leave you with is, do you have that powerful witness within you? It is your birthright as a Christian. It is part of the glorious inheritance Christ has won for you. And God your Father does not want you to walk in darkness through this world in constant doubts and fears. But he wants you to have that certainty. He wants you to have that peace and that love. which is the gift of the Spirit as a witness to Christ. Do you know the gift of the Spirit testifying to your heart? Well, receive it this night. Trust the gospel. Believe in Christ and pray for such a gift. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, your powerful Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in the church. And we, O Lord, are in awe of him this night, of his presence amongst us. We thank you that he has shown us the truth, that he has spoken and revealed that Christ is Lord. We thank you that he has spoken and his word is recorded for us in the scriptures. And we hear him speak so clearly, telling us about the Lord Jesus. But our Father, we want to be bold witnesses for Christ. And Lord, we want to walk in the joy and confidence of our salvation. And so we pray, please, that his inner witness in our hearts would be strengthened. That, Lord, you would speak to us clearly this night and fill us with your peace and your joy. Help us, Lord, to see and to know all that is true in Christ and that we are saved in him. In his name we pray. Amen.